Okay, so now we would like to welcome Pastor Bob Beeman to the stage.
Och nu skulle jag vilja välkomna Pastor Bob Beeman upp på scenen.
Pastor Bob is the main speaker at Bobfest, obviously, as he has been the last two Bobfests as well.
Pastor Bob är huvudtalare på Bobfest i år som alla andra tidigare år.
And we're all looking forward to some great teaching from you. Welcome.
Vi ser fram emot lite trevlig undervisning av dig. Välkommen.
Great, thank you. Good evening. It is so good to be back here with you again this year. And thank you for inviting me to come back to Bobfest again. You know, I think I have a standing invitation here, don't I? See, that's the problem when you name a festival after somebody. You're stuck with them every time you have it. So you're stuck with me again this year, and I'm glad you're stuck with me because it is really good to see you all again. God bless you. And especially thank you, those of you who have traveled so far to get here. How many of you have traveled outside of Sweden to get here? That's wonderful. Good. All right. That's great. We have some great bands this weekend. I brought Disciple with me from the States. You're going to love them. They are my favorite band in the United States. And you'll see why if you haven't heard them tonight. We've got some great bands from Europe that'll be playing as well tonight and tomorrow night. And are you ready to rock out? Yeah. All right. But you're stuck listening to me for just a little while first. I want to share just a couple things with you for just a few minutes. And then I believe we're going to have a break, and then we're going to go to the other location to listen to the bands tonight. I want to just basically talk a little bit tonight, and what I have to say this weekend, I'm mostly going to talk about tomorrow afternoon. And so you'll want to come tomorrow to listen to the good stuff. Not that this isn't going to be good, but the best stuff is tomorrow. You know, this has been an exciting year for me. It's been a difficult one. I almost died this year. I guess most people wouldn't say that's very exciting. But it has been for me. This has been, I've been sick for a few years. They couldn't find out what was wrong with me, and I kept getting sicker and sicker. And they finally diagnosed it. They began to treat it. I had surgery. And I feel better today than I felt in almost 10 years. And I am so excited that the Lord gave me another chance to live. But you know, during that time, he kind of shook me up a little bit. You know what I mean? He got my attention in some areas as well. And if you've ever had the opportunity to face death, I was told by three different doctors that I was going to die. And the fourth one said, no, I don't think so. Let's see if we can try something else. I'm glad I went to him. But I know that the greatest physician is the one who healed me. And that's why I'm here today. And you know, the reason I believe that I'm healed is because God isn't finished with me yet. He's got some perfecting still to do. But I also believe that he has some things, there's some things in my heart that I want to share still as well. And folks, can I just say that I believe that we are on the verge of one of the greatest revivals we've ever seen. I believe it. And I think a lot of it is about to happen with Christian rock and roll people. I know it is. You know, we've been pioneering Christian rock and roll music for over 20 years now. It's been a long time. We have been misunderstood by the church for over 20 years now as well. My friend Larry Norman said, why should the devil have all the good music? And I agree with him. And we have worked really hard to bring Christian rock and roll to the place where it's at. Today, things are going very well. We started a company years ago that we just took over again, called Diamante, which is one of the largest Christian distribution companies around. We're excited to begin the process again of getting Christian music from Europe and all over the world into the hands of people who need to hear it. But mostly we're excited that those lyrics can change lives because they contain the good news of Jesus Christ. That's good, isn't it? How many of you like rock and roll music? You know, I kind of thought you might. Thought that might be the case. I want to share with you today some things from the Word of God, the Bible. And, you know, the Bible is an exciting book simply because if you want to know who God is, you read your owner's manual, the Bible. You begin to find out who He is by opening up the book. And I hope that you have had an opportunity to read through some of this. It's very exciting. And it's very life-giving as well. God has some exciting things to share with us. And I want to share a few of those things with you tonight. I put my glasses on. I only wear them when I need to see, like now. I'm going to be reading, if you have a Bible, you can turn there with me, although your Bible may not be in English as mine is. You know, I appreciate everyone who, people keep apologizing to me that they don't speak very good English. You know, I only speak one language, English, and I don't speak very good English either. So you're doing very well. You speak two languages. I haven't gotten one language down very well yet. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 9, it says, "What God has planned for people who love Him is more than eyes have seen or ears have heard. It has never even entered our minds." Here's the good news that I have for you tonight. Are you ready? How many of you are ready for some good news? We like that. Here's the good news. No matter how big you're dreaming tonight, God is always dreaming bigger. I want to say that again. I want you to catch this. No matter how large, how big you're dreaming tonight, God is always dreaming bigger. Always. That's what we just read. He said, all those things that our mind tries to comprehend, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't even entered the hearts and the minds of men, those things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I want you to catch this. Because what he's saying here is that God has more for you than you could possibly imagine. That ought to make you a little more excited. More than you can imagine, God has prepared for you. Now, I want to share with you some of the most dynamic things in the Bible in just the next few minutes. And my prayer for you this weekend is that your life has changed. That you aren't the same when you go home as when you came tonight. That God will dramatically touch your heart and touch your lives and maybe possibly set you free in some areas that you need His help in. But folks, serving God is the most exciting thing you'll ever do. And if you haven't found that out yet, you don't know Him very well yet. I've been a Christian for 43 years this year. It's a long time. And honestly, it keeps getting better. Every year is better and better. I think He's the one that keeps getting better. I'm not sure that I do. But it just keeps getting better. Now, I want to share the rest of this scripture passage with you. And I want to read that part again. What God has planned for people who love Him is more than eyes have seen. It's more than ears have heard. It hasn't even entered our minds. It's bigger than we are. Listen. But God's Spirit has shown you everything. His Spirit finds out everything, even what is deep in the mind of God. Do you understand what that's saying? In other words, we're all sitting here today thinking about something. And the only person who really knows what we're thinking about is us. You know what you're thinking. The person next to you might have an idea what you're thinking. In fact, some of you are hoping that no one around you knows what you're thinking. But that's what it's saying. Nobody knows what you're thinking except for you. Then it goes on. And it says, you are the only one who knows what's in your mind, and God's Spirit is the only one who knows what's in His mind. Are you ready for the exciting part? But God has given us His Spirit. What does that mean? It means now you know what's on His mind. Listen to this. That's why we don't think like the people of this world think. That's also why we could recognize the blessing that God has given to us. Have you noticed that things change a little bit when you become a Christian? You're not the person you used to be, are you? In fact, some people change a lot. I had one guy that told me that he was disappointed after he became a Christian because he really liked to party a lot, and now he didn't enjoy it as much. I tried to tell him that was probably a good thing. But we change. Something inside of us begins to stir, and we get to know the God who created us. You know, there are a lot of people walking around today who need to know Jesus Christ because there's something missing inside, isn't there? There's something inside of them that longs to know God and longs to be completed by Him. We're zombies walking around until we know Him. We're not complete yet. So now this verse has just told us that we can't possibly even imagine everything that God knows, things that He has planned for us. And it just told us that we've not received the Spirit that we have ourselves, that we've received His Spirit that we might actually understand things He's saying to us. Then it goes on. This is good, isn't it? Every word we speak was taught us by God's Spirit, not by human wisdom. And the same Spirit helps us teach spiritual things to spiritual people. That's why only someone who has God's Spirit can understand spiritual blessings. Anyone who doesn't have God's Spirit thinks these blessings are foolish. People who are guided by the Spirit can make all kinds of judgments, but they cannot be judged by others. And the Scripture says, has anyone ever known the thoughts of the Lord or given Him advice? But we understand what Christ is thinking. I don't know about you, but that makes me very excited. Did you catch the last part? We actually understand, that's what it says, what Christ is thinking. And folks, here's what I want to convey to you tonight. And that is that Christianity is not just something you do. Christianity is something you are. It is not something that you're involved with. It is something that takes over your life as you become a new person. I want to talk about that just for a few minutes tonight. I'm not going to talk very long tonight because we really need to rock and roll. How many of you need to rock and roll tonight? See, I knew you did. So I won't be real windy tonight, but tomorrow, after you've had tonight, tomorrow we'll talk more. Here's the good part. When God saved us, He didn't leave us the same way we used to be. He gave us the opportunity to become somebody brand new. A new creation, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. The Bible says, behold, That word means, guess what? It's wonderful. Everything has become new again. New. So who are you now? Well, if you're a Christian today, you're not the person you used to be. And for those of you that are still a little worried, you're also not the person you're going to be. We're in the process. We're becoming a new creation. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is a guy named Peter. He was an apostle. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know who Peter is? Peter was a misfit. In English, we'd call him a flake. We'd call him a person who tries to do the right thing but didn't always succeed at doing it. Peter was the one that saw Jesus walking on water and said, Lord, come, ask me to come out and walk on the water with you. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. I'd love to walk on the water too, wouldn't you? Peter wanted to. And he said, Lord, I know that if you tell me to come walk on the water, that I can walk on water also. Jesus said, come on, Peter, put out his hand. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water, and then he thought, oh my, what am I doing? And he looked down. You know the story, don't you? He looked down, and down he went. We call it taking a nosedive. Went down. And Jesus looked at Peter, and he said something very profound to Peter that he probably repeated many more times to Peter as well. O ye of little faith. Good old Peter. Peter was also the guy who just couldn't quite get it straight. And had the best of intentions, but lacked some things as well. And on that night when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was about to be crucified, Peter stood strong and he said, Lord, I'd never do anything bad to hurt you. And Jesus said, Peter, before this night is finished, you will betray me not once, not twice, but three times. And Peter said, you've got to be kidding. I would never do that. And he says, before you hear the rooster crow, you'll betray me three times. Peter never believed that would be true. Never thought it would happen. But it did. Not once, not twice, but three times. The Bible records this third time. And it's interesting because the Bible says that Peter was standing across the courtyard from Jesus. And as he betrayed him the third time, and the rooster began to crow, the Bible says that Jesus looked at Peter in the eyes right after that. He was busted, wasn't he? Can you imagine what that would have been like, folks? Here was Jesus, whom Peter loved dearly. He always tried to do the right thing and couldn't quite get there. And now, as he's just betrayed him three times, he looks across the courtyard and looks straight in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you suppose Jesus looked at him? Do you suppose he looked at him and went, Peter, you just never get this right, do you? Do you suppose he looked at him with anger and said, Peter, I can't believe you do that. I'm really mad at you now. Do you suppose he looked at him and said, that's it? You're really not going to heaven this time. You see, because I can see myself saying all of those things to Peter. The first thing I'd probably say is, see, Peter, I told you you'd do that. I told you so. What did Jesus do when he looked at him? Jesus loved him. Jesus looked at Peter with eyes of compassion and love. And the Bible says Peter broke down and cried and he wept. Why did he weep? Because, folks, in the height of his sin, Jesus loved him anyway. That's us tonight, isn't it? Did you know that in the height of your sin, as bad as things get, I don't know about you, but I can get pretty bad sometimes. Jesus is always looking at me and saying, I love you. I love you. In the middle of it. Let me tell you who I'm speaking to tonight. I'm speaking to some of you who are going through difficult times. And you feel like you've blown it in some different ways. And some of you that don't feel like God loves you very much anymore because of some of the things you've done. And you feel like if Jesus Christ looked at you across the courtyard, he would be upset with you. But folks, for every one of you sitting here today, no matter what you've gone through, Jesus is looking at you no matter what and saying, I love you. Watch me die. That's what he said to Peter. And when Jesus hung on the cross, Peter knew it was for him also. He knew it. The Bible says, no greater love has any man than this, that he would lay down his life for his what? Friend. Did you know God calls you his friend? So what do we do when our lives don't change? What do we do when we're a Christian and we don't seem to be getting any different? What happens as a Christian when life isn't going well? When I start getting depressed? When I feel lonely? When I continue to commit the same sins over and over again? What happened? Why doesn't it work? You know, the place that all of us have to start is the same place that Peter started. Jesus put up with a lot of things with Peter, but I haven't told you the best part of Peter's story yet. Here's the best part. Jesus was speaking to Peter directly one night, and he asked him a huge question. He said, Peter, do you love me? Remember that question? Peter, do you love me? Peter said, sure, Lord, I love you. We're good friends. I love you. You're my buddy, Jesus. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's thinking, okay. You just asked me that question. And he said, well, yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. Jesus said, okay, take care of my sheep. A few more minutes went by and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's thinking, you know, Lord, you've asked me this twice already. And he said, Lord, what's up? He says, Lord, you know everything. He said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Do you have any idea what Jesus was doing there? One of the most exciting things that we see happening in Scripture. The first time he asked him, he said, I want you to feed my lambs. Who are the lambs? The baby Christians. Those people that are just starting out in their faith. He said, Peter, I want you to feed them. The second time he asked Peter if he loved him, Jesus said, take care of my sheep. In other words, take care of some of the older Christians. Make sure they're okay. And the third time that he asked him, Jesus said, Peter, feed my sheep. In other words, he said, Peter, you are about to be the spokesperson for all the Christians. You are about to feed multitudes of people. I'm giving you that responsibility. That blows me away. Because I wouldn't have chosen Peter. You know, Peter didn't have a real good track record. Did you notice? Wait a minute, Lord, this is the same guy that took a nosedive when he tried to walk on water. Lord, this is the same guy that betrayed you 3 times, and Jesus knew that he would. And we're not even going into a lot of other things. The Bible records about Peter who didn't always do the right things. And now Jesus is choosing Peter to feed the lambs and the sheep. Well, an exciting thing happens in Acts chapter 2. The Bible records this and says that all of a sudden God's Holy Spirit fell on the people. And people began to speak in other languages and nobody could understand them. And the people that were standing around were wondering what in the heck was going on. They couldn't understand. And they said, wait a minute, it's too early in the morning for them all to be drunk. What's happening? And in the middle of all of the confusion, the Bible records that Peter stepped up and said, here's what's going on. And he began to teach them and instruct them. And guess who the new leader is? Peter. That's pretty exciting to me. Because see, I'm a lot like Peter. When God looks at me, he has to see the same kind of guy that Peter is. He has to see all the times that I've blown it too. And sometimes I think, Lord, why do you continue to use me? Why do you continue to give me these things to do? And the answer is, we're in love with each other. And that's what it takes. Folks, the greatest thing in the world, the greatest thing, is to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Not just follow him, but fall in love with him. There's a difference, isn't there? And today, Jesus is asking for our hearts, not just cooperation, not just a belief system, but he wants your heart. And he wants you to love him, and he wants to love you more than anyone ever, ever will. And so the exciting thing is this, that the more you get involved with him, the more you fall in love with him, the better it gets. The more you learn, and the more you begin to understand what he's telling you, as we just read in the scriptures. Those things that we'd never comprehend, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, things that wouldn't even enter our hearts and minds, that God has prepared for those that love him. He's shown us. And we begin to dream bigger and bigger. We begin to see things larger and larger. And we begin to embrace a God that is bigger than anything we ever imagined. And we begin to live a life that gets more and more exciting as we go. Now that was just to get you warmed up. Tomorrow, I want to tell you what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. I don't know if you have these here, but in the United States, we have a lot of people that talk about predicting the future. Do you have those here? They tell you what they think is going to happen in the future and they try to predict it. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Tomorrow, Pastor Bob predicts your future. But I know, pretty exciting, huh? What I want to do, though, is I want to tell you what happens when you begin to follow God's purpose in your life. I want to talk about how to have a successful life spiritually. We're going to get into some pretty deep issues. But folks, tomorrow when we meet, I want you to be all prayed up. You know what that means? I want you to pray before you come so that your heart is ready, because I believe God is about to change our hearts and our lives in some areas that are real important. I'm excited. God put a lot of these things on my heart as I was laying in bed thinking that I was going to die. And I said, Lord, this is all really great. Why am I getting it now? I'm glad to be healthy and standing before you and able to give it to you in person. And tomorrow I want to give that to you, and I want to share some of those things with you, and we're going to have a great time. I just want to tell you how much I love you folks, how happy I am to be here with you again. I have made some wonderful friends here. Some of you I've seen for 3 years in a row now, and it's good to see your face every time I come back. But we have some great things ahead. We have some more worship tonight, don't we, Daniel? If the worship team could come back, good music. Would you guys come back and lead us in a few more songs? Folks, would you stand, please, as well? Thank you. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, if I could, and then I'll turn it over to the worship team to take us in a little more depth with the Lord tonight. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you loved us so much that you died for us. Lord, we're eternally grateful. And I thank you, Lord, that it's because you love us so much, Lord, that you're able to complete that love in us. And Lord, just as you looked at Peter from across a courtyard in the middle of probably the greatest sin that he'd ever committed, and you loved him and you looked at him with kindness in your eyes, Lord, you're doing that same thing with every one of us tonight. Lord, I just thank you for the freedom that you give us, for the acceptance that you give us, in that while we were still sinners, you died for us, and you set us free. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We would also like to invite those of you who feel a need for a prayer, intercession. We'll invite you to the front, and there'll be somebody to pray for you. If something in Pastor Bob's teaching has touched you, or if you just need prayer for something else, if you're feeling sick or whatever it might be, just feel free to come to the front, and we'll pray for you.